One man can change the world with a bullet in the right place.
Welcome back to the New to Pew podcast, proudly sponsored by Stuff and Things Inc., proud makers of interesting firearms products. Love, care, and creativity. My name is Max Fallis. God damn it, give it up for me. As we go down another rabbit hole of 2A and other interesting fire alarm related items. And I did say we.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Because I wouldn't be nothing without my buddy, the BBR Bagman. Sir, how are you?
Welcome back. Let's do it again. I think, so we keep doing this, I think you said fire alarm.
Did I?
I think you did. That's okay. Keep going. We're going to run with it.
I'm too tired to run, sir.
Sooner or later, we're just going to walk in both worlds on this show and go with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know you had an interesting title for this one, so I'm going to call it Episode 29. We can subtitle it later. What do you got for us today, Bagman?
Play the sad music, because we are currently in an abusive relationship and being wounded repeatedly by someone who has told us over and over, trust me, I won't do it again. And they're doing it to us again.
Come on with the pistol play, nigga.
God damn it. He was supposed to change. They told me he was going to be different this time.
Yeah, they said it would be different this time. They said it's okay, and then it's not okay, and then it's okay again. And, you know, that was the final decision, and there's another final decision, and now they've made yet another final decision. And if you're not catching on to the joke here, it's the ATF. The ATF is abusing their authority again. The fact that they have any authority whatsoever is an abuse of government power. But they've dropped yet another ruling as it pertains to pistol braces.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
And again, I look at this stuff and I go, how in the hell, in the light of the Bruin decision, does any of this shit fly?
Because nobody reads.
No, people read and people fall into compliance. Because one of the tricks here is that the ATF is going, well, you know, we're changing the rules yet again. And if you have a short-barreled firearm with a brace on it, and there's a whole laundry list of criteria here that I'm not going to bother getting into, all of a sudden that becomes a short-barreled rifle. And we'll give you a free Form 1 tax stamp filing. We'll waive the $200 fee if all you do is confess and register your firearms.
It's a trap!
With my lack of sleep, I can see that's some bullshit, because why would you voluntarily register yourself for something that can and will be used against you in a court of law?
Exactly. So, it's and I don't know how many millions of firearms are out there that have braces on them, but I know it's in the millions because they were ubiquitous for the last several years. And I'll admit that I was even kind of slow to get on board with it. I didn't see the appeal initially, and I was kind of late to the party as far as that goes. So, but they keep changing the rules. It was, you know, originally designed for wounded veterans so they could enjoy the shooting sports with this device to help support the firearm during shooting, right? And then somebody went, oh, well, this is kind of neat. You can get away with pushing this up against your shoulder. And it's not a stock, but you get a little extra support out of it. And they're not as solid as a stock by any stretch, right? Mm-hmm. It's still rubber. It still flexes, whatever. It's not the same. It just isn't. So manufacturers experimented with different materials. And the other kicker is they had to submit their designs and prototypes and production samples and everything else to the ATF for approval. And the ATF gave each one of those manufacturers a letter certifying that, yes, this is a brace and this is okay to use in this fashion and blah, blah, blah. And then the ATF comes out and says, well, you can't put it to your shoulder.
What?
Because then you're making it an SBR. And I go, How did it magically become an SBR depending on how I hold it?
But they're trying to change the definition
that, that
of it
lasted
by its usage, I guess.
Right. So that lasted for a little while, and then they came back out with another decision saying, no, it doesn't. It's okay. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. People go back and forth. Can you put it to your shoulder? Can you not put it to your shoulder? Can you put it to your cheek instead of your shoulder and shoot it that way? Some weenies were like, well, no, that's still shouldering. I'm like, how is it shouldering if the shoulder's not involved? It's just so much dumb shit. When it really comes down to, there's not supposed to be any rules regulating this stuff at all. Like, the government's not supposed to be interfering with any of this stuff at all. So now they've come out with this new rule, and it goes into effect immediately. So overnight, however many millions of firearms owners were on paper or in theory immediately made felons, because wow, it's a felony possession to have any of these things. And there's a list of options: destroy the firearm, destroy the brace. Destroy the brace in such a way that it can't be reattached to the firearm. Remove the short barrel and place a 16-inch rifle-length barrel instead.
Hold up. Something ain't right. Why would... I know the answer.
Or surrender the firearm to the ATF at your local ATF office, or take advantage of their free tax stamp registration. Yeah, it's... so much bullshit.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, I cannot. It's serious because it's very important, base.
Yeah, I mean, number one, I bought this thing. If you're not going to give me fair and equal value for it, why would you expect me to even consider trading it back to anything? Secondly, mm-hmm, how does changing the barrel of something change the brace? Like, if it's about the brace...
Well, because the idea was... the idea was that if it's a barrel less than 16 inches, like, let's just, for example, we'll pick a random number like 10 and a half inch. That was an AR pistol because it did not have a stock. It had a shorter barrel than 16 inches. It did not meet the criteria to be a rifle. It's a pistol.
So a
and people
pistol
would put the brace on the pistol because it's not a stock. And if it's not a stock, then it's not a short-barreled rifle, right? Yeah, don't try to make too much sense out of some nonsense. But we're gonna
yeah, so we're gonna it's
yeah,
yeah. Like,
so okay, what they're telling you to do is either convert it to, like, either register it as an SBR, a short-barreled rifle, or convert it to a full-length rifle with a 16-inch upper. So you're just supposed to go out and spend all this money reconfiguring however many firearms you have, or fuck you, you're a felon. Ain't it cool?
That has to be one of my big concerns as a firearms owner, of waking up and not getting the email that, you know, now you're a felon for something you bought,
yeah,
2 days ago. Like, that... that has to be one of the scariest things, because most times when people do wacky shit, they anticipate some sort of repercussions for their actions. But this is something that is, and I'm not speaking to the ruling themselves, I'm speaking more about the practice of, yep, when you wake up tomorrow, something you did that was legal yesterday is now illegal. And not only is it, like, fine, illegal, it's like you're a felon now. So mm-hmm, it as somebody who's new to all of this shit, it sounds absolutely goddamn ridiculous that,
because it is.
Yeah, okay, well, at least I'm not wrong, or at least I'm not missing something, because this shit does sound strange. It sounds very weird. And, you know, if if your shoes were the problem, just for hypothetical reasons,
mm-hmm.
I don't see any logic in having a rule that requires you to change your mustache in order for your shoes to be okay. Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just, I don't know, man. I can't find any sense
of logic. At what point does the government have the right and authority to suddenly change what's legal overnight with no financial compensation and just screw you? But again, that's how government does everything, isn't it? It's fuck you, pay me.
Business bad? Fuck you, pay me. Oh, you had a fire? Fuck you, pay me. Place got hit by lightning, huh? Fuck you, pay me.
They don't care. Fuck you, pay me. That's the bottom line, right?
Damn.
I don't care that I've inconvenienced you or turned you into a felon. That's your problem. Do as I say or face my wrath. And that's certainly the MO of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms as it relates to the firearms industry.
Damn. Here's a question that probably has a simple answer. Is there any requirement to work for the ATF to actually own a firearm? Like you should know this product in order to govern it, right? You know?
No, of course not.
Well, I'm done trying to find common sense then.
Old men shouldn't be making decisions about women's bodies, but it's perfectly fine for ridiculously anti-gun nut bars who've never actually done anything with a firearm to now regulate firearms into oblivion. Here's my whole thing. We have a constitution that enumerates a natural right. Okay. The Second Amendment is not a gift bestowed upon the people by the government. It was a restraint placed on the government. Understand? It doesn't say you can bear arms as long as we say so. It says shall not be infringed, which means the government is not supposed to mess with you in any way, shape, or form.
Pledge allegiance to that, my brother.
So it's all bullshit. And going back to the Bruin decision upheld that a lot of these things that states have passed or the federal government have passed have been unconstitutional and need to go away. So unfortunately, there's going to have to be a whole bunch of lawsuits to shut down the ATF.
Wow. You think that's the move, is to abolish the whole thing?
That's pie in the sky, right? When I'm saying shut down the ATF, I'm not meaning that literally. I mean stopping this particular action.
Gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
And I believe people voiced their concerns during the last couple of months when it was open for discussion and you could send letters and all this stuff. And I think they promptly ignored everything they were told and said, we're going to do whatever the hell we want, because they put it out there. Here's the proposed plan and the point system and all this nonsense. This overly convoluted scheme, and then they went ahead with it anyway. So, did they listen to anybody?
Hell no, nigga.
Clearly,
what is the
not.
Fascination with the concept of the bump stock and brace? Like, why is that a target when I don't hear it mentioned in recent incidences or shootings? Like, you hear AR-15, oh, it was used, AR-15, it was used, and this and this. Like, I don't hear nobody saying bump stop or brace. Like, why is that a focal point, do you think?
Because it's what the anti-gun people think is low-hanging fruit, right?
Okay.
And it was just recently Representative Massey went after, and I forget who it was that was claiming the brace simulates full auto fire on an AR pistol. And Massey was like, you're talking about a bump stock. Those were already banned a couple years ago. You don't even know what you're talking about. And the internet is going to have a field day educating you.
This bill is unserious and unconstitutional, but we'll get into the unconstitutionality of it later during the debate as we offer amendments. But let me talk about the unseriousness of it. And some of what I'm about to show you may come as a surprise to the other side of the aisle. And you may want to go back and redraft it again. I don't know.
that's really the long and short of it. They always try to pick on something that they think they can win. Mm-hmm. And it's that little encroachment. If I take an inch, I'll get away with it. If I try to push you in the corner all in one shot, you're going to resist. But if I take a little bit at a time, you'll keep backing up. And then when you get mad, I'll back off a little bit. And then I'll start again once you settle down. And that's all the ATF is doing. And if you look at the complete history of gun control, right now it's the pistol brace. Before that, it was the bump stock. Before that, it was assault weapons. In the 60s and 70s, it was the Saturday Night Special, the inexpensive handgun that had to be banned and regulated and all this stuff. Full autos in the 80s, we had importation rule changes about what could be brought into the country and what couldn't, all kinds of nonsense. There's always been a thing. They figured out pretty quickly they can't just ban firearms outright. People will not tolerate it. But what they can do is come up with permitting schemes, ban certain items, and inconvenience you at every opportunity. You know, we talked a couple episodes ago about the letter your wife got requiring her to do this extra stuff. That's all that is. It's another hurdle. It's another inconvenience. And they don't care what the Constitution says or what your natural rights are. Mm-hmm. They have an end goal, which is complete and total civilian disarmament. And they're willing to play the long game, taking little bites here and there along the way to get to that end goal.
It's death by a thousand cuts.
Mm-hmm. And the arbitrary decisions that have gone back and forth, specifically as it pertains to these pistol braces, is if it's not clearly shenanigans to you, you're either on the side of the shenanigans or you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
It's legal. We approved it. Like, you had to have this. This is the part that kills me. The ATF had to give you an approval letter before you could start selling braces. Right. So companies like SB Tactical, SIG, KAK Industries, all these companies that are out there that were making these things, Odin Works, they all had ATF letters. And a lot of them, like SB Tactical, would put the letter in the package with the item when you bought it. Hmm. You got a copy of that ATF approval that says, yes, this is a legal item. So they had to approve it. And then they said, well, you can't do certain things with it. And then they went and said, well, yes, you can. We changed our minds. And then they said, no, you can't. We changed our minds again. And then they said, yes, you can. We changed our minds again. And it's just this back and forth game of like, how much can I jerk you around and how much are you going to tolerate?
Until you quit.
Until you quit. Until you stop.
Until you stop trying. Essentially.
Until you stop trying. Right. Right.
Oh. Well, luckily.
I mean, it's
we're stubborn
like a textbook narcissistic abuse.
Come on, I'm asking you nice stuff.
And I'm saying no nice.
You know,
come on.
Come on. They're very stubborn people, so it's a fight. I can see that already.
Yeah, but you know what, though? And I'm going to come right out and say it. This is going to be real unpopular. There's a lot of punks. A lot of people are bragging about getting their free form one. And I'll put it this way. If you're signed up for the free form one so you can keep your pistol brace, you're a punk.
You disloyal, fool-ass, bitch-made punk.
You're a punk.
Wait a minute. So I'm new to Pew, goddammit, and I know
right
in this circle.
If you're going to form one, put a stock on it, right? Make it a real short-barreled rifle and cut the bullshit.
You went full retard, man. Never go full retard.
In the meantime, Firearms Policy Coalition, Gun Owners of America, there's a bunch of other organizations out there are all filing lawsuits. Support that effort and shut this nonsense down, because this is horse shit.
I can't imagine a gun owner bragging about a allowance from the government. like you said, somebody was like bragging about getting there. Was it tax stamp? You said it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's not a flex. And I can't imagine a firearm owner thinking that it is a flex. So, if we've gotten that level of misguidance, wow. And that's coming from the guy who literally just sat down at this table. And even I can see that you would not be bragging about this shit. Like, and okay, my next question is, why is it referred to as a tax stamp?
Because this goes back to the NFA from the early, I would have to look up the actual year, but when the NFA was put in place, that was one of the things that had to be registered was short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, all this stuff. And they put a $200 tax stamp on it. So it coincides with a couple of things, right? You had the St. Valentine's Day massacre during Prohibition, where warring gangs had committed these atrocious crimes with submachine guns and all this stuff. And of course, the plan was, well, we'll crack down on criminals by just making things illegal for everybody. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that in a second too. So Prohibition ends and you have all these revenuers who need something to do. So we create new legislation requiring certain firearms to be registered and we put them in charge of that. So keep in mind, this is, I want to say in the 20s or 30s, this goes into effect and the tax stamp is $200.
That's like $2,000 of our money today.
It's probably more than that. You know, okay. I would have to look up actual numbers, but I'm sure there were people at that time who were probably making $200 a year.
So it's pricing out the average man, so to speak.
Exactly. That was the whole point, was to throw up that hurdle to make it so expensive that you just couldn't do it. Or you're wealthy enough that you can call in a favor from a judge or whatever. You've got that kind of money. You get to have those kinds of things.
All gun control is racist.
Yeah. So again, we've talked about how it's all rooted in racism. Who can't afford that? How do we price it out of the hands of those undesirables that we don't want to have these kinds of things? That continues on as the dollar grows and inflation goes up. They never actually adjusted those prices. So it's, as far as I know, it's always been a $200 tax stamp. Now, there's a lot of people who consider that very affordable. My attitude is, I'm not paying you for a $200 tax stamp to tell me I'm allowed to have something I should be allowed to have, and then put a bunch of extra restrictions on it. Because once it's registered with the ATF, it falls under a whole nother set of rules as far as how it has to be marked, how it can be transported. You can't take it from state to state without getting prior approval. And all this other nonsense, it becomes a real heavy thing. There's plenty of people out there that do it, right? We should probably get somebody on the show who's got the SOTs and the class threes and all that stuff, that they can explain it better than I can. But it's a heap of bullshit, which I think was the appeal to a lot of people. Well, it's not really an SBR, so it's not quite as good, but I'll settle for this because I don't have to go through all that nonsense. And then if I want to go from one state to another, it's the same as transporting any other pistol. So I just have to follow those basic regulations, which again are bullshit, but it's a lesser level of obligation, right? Mm. So again, I just keep looking at this whole thing as like it's extreme overreach on the part of the ATF. I'm really wondering where all these politicians that just ran for re-election that were like, I'm pro-gun. Where are you? Defund the ATF. Cut their funding.
You know, I don't remember the ATF being in the news for anything alcohol or tobacco related. Maybe it's just my generation, because tobacco and booze has always been a thing. And I'm not old enough for Prohibition. I wasn't around then, but it's funny because anytime that the ATF comes up in conversation, at least in my 45 years, it's always been firearms related. And I often wonder, like, do they do anything alcohol or tobacco related, or did they already just set so many rules? They set so many hurdles. That system is already in play, which is now maybe one of the many reasons why they're focusing more on firearms, because they've already got the system set up for the A, and people are complying with it. The system's there. It's generating its revenue from licenses and, you know, alcohol licenses for restaurants and all that shit. And the same for tobacco, because it's one of the oldest industries in America from my lack of understanding about history of anything else. So now it's like, all right, well, we need to finish building this bullshit castle of the F. And so we're going to start focusing our efforts on the F now and try to get some wins. So at least the guys
that here's the other crazy little piece of history. Guess what three things most of the founders made their money on?
I'm going to see it's cheese, beef, and lima beans.
Hell no, nigga.
Yeah. Brewing and distilling, growing, and manufacturing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there an end to this wackiness? That's the question.
No, I don't think there is. I think it's just the pendulum swinging back and forth. And I think it's to the people in power, it's just a game, right? And unless something or someone unseats those people in power and we really get a much bigger, broader change, this is just going to continue.
So this is just part of being a gun owner is watching the pendulum swing back and forth and ducking when it comes toward you. And then,
yeah, unfortunately, it feels like that. Unfortunately, I think it feels like that. So, yeah, my attitude as far as this goes, like, don't form one. And I'm not giving anybody legal advice. I'm not a lawyer. You're not a lawyer. We're not certainly not doing any of that. I just think from a moral standpoint, like, it's nonsense to have to do something to register a brace. It's bullshit. It's bullshit to have to register something with a stock. But since that's the existing system, if you're going to form one, it pull a brace off, put a stock on, you know, get the other stamps, drill a third hole, fucking, you know, put a suppressor on it, like go whole hog. Mm-hmm. And just make it a three stamp gun and be done with it.
If you're gonna buy a pumpkin coffee, pour it off your balls. Be a man.
If they want to play these games, fine. Then there's no point in holding back anything anymore. And I have a feeling it's going to get ugly because this is not an uncommon item in the marketplace at this point. And I think there's a lot of people who don't follow these things very closely. I think there's probably a lot of people who went to the gun show and bought something because they thought it was cool with everything going on in the last couple of years and wanted something for protection. And, you know, it's not great, but they probably took it home, maybe went to the range once or twice, stuck it in their closet, and they're not about the lifestyle. They're not keeping up with all this. Something could happen and they could be a felon. Minor law enforcement interaction, the cop knows you can't have that anymore, and now all of a sudden you're jammed up on a bunch of extra shit that you had no criminal intent. That's the part that bothers me. You had no criminal intent. And you were made a felon overnight by the very people who were supposed to be looking out for you.
Supposedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Hypothetically. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, and if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you too.
Is there a brace on the bridge?
Nice.
See, I'm waking up, ladies and gentlemen. The humor is coming alive in the wee hours of the night as I sit in my cold garage, nestled up with my Star Wars bathrobe and my old lady blanket on my feet because it's cold here in Jersey.
Which you needed some alpaca socks to finish off that outfit.
I didn't say that they weren't on my feet. Okay. They're actually what make the outfit pop, sir. Okay.
Nice. Please.
They're in fashion and in season. And what is also
how dare you?
Is our wonderful friends at Stuffin' Things, for they are an official sponsor of the New to Pew show. And now, there's a discount code we have for them, correct?
To spread the love. We have a discount code, New to Pew. So the name of the show is the discount code, 10% off everything on the website.
And that's
it's very
number,
exciting.
Number two.
Hopefully.
People. Don't spell it out.
Yeah, hopefully. It's too soon to say anything, but hopefully there will be some news next episode.
We'll be able to talk more in depth about these stuff and some things, hopefully.
Yeah, there's some secret squirrel skunk work stuff going on that I will, I would love to share with everyone. But until it's official, we got to hold it back. The other thing that's going on this week is SHOT Show in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a big deal. That's where all the manufacturers go and all the swag whores go. And the industry people and, you know, wannabes like us try to get to see all the new stuff that's coming out.
I've been seeing some stuff popping up already on my social media, and it looks like, in comparison to IV88's event, it's not much range. It's more trade show floor. Just come and look and touch and feel.
Correct. It is a massive trade show, and that's really what it's for. So the it's kind of been taken over in the last, I'm going to say, 10 or 15 years by people who aren't necessarily really in the industry. SHOT Show was originally really intended for manufacturers and dealers. So you can go, you can see the new products, you can place your orders with the manufacturers and stock your store. Then media got involved, and then media changed because it wasn't just major, we'll say, like magazines and print publications, television crews, stuff like that. You got social media people, you've got YouTubers, and that shifted the landscape dramatically. So there's all kinds of people there that may have a podcast like us, maybe doing a YouTube channel, some things like that. Could be big, could be small. I don't know that. I don't go, but I don't know that they're necessarily as, there's a lot of people there that aren't as in the industry as they should be to be at that trade show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's kind of a running joke that it's the annual migration of tactical pants and swag collectors. You know, there's people that there's a culture there, right?
Mm-hmm.
People that show up with empty backpacks so they can just grab patches off of tables and fill their backpacks.
Was it always open to the general public?
It is not open to the general public.
Oh, it's not
at all. No, you have to register for SHOT Show. You have to have some sort of credentials. I forget who actually hosts it. Is it NSSF? I would have to look that up again. But you know, because I have a business license and all that stuff, I could register and go that way.
Okay, so it's not like a convention where it's open to the public. This is dealer, no. Manufacturer, press, you know,
right.
Industry, if you
and will. The term press is the one that's been stretched really far. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, it would be like me showing up having nothing more than this podcast and saying, well, I've got 13 listeners on my podcast. I deserve to be here. Give me free stuff. And that's the attitude a lot of people carry over there too. There's all kinds of running jokes. There's gags. There's, you know, and in some ways it is kind of the mecca of the industry that goes on every year. So people will use it as an opportunity, just like anything else, to network and link up with other people. You'll see a lot of content come out this week and in the following weeks from SHOT Show. The complaint I have is that a lot of manufacturers go, well, we can't help you this week because we're getting ready for SHOT Show. And we can't help you this week because we're at SHOT Show. And we can't help you this week because we're recovering from SHOT Show. So you lose 3 weeks to this convention. Yeah.
Halo Sun. Excuse me.
Right. Not to point the finger at anyone, particularly Hollow Sun, who's still not returning calls or answering emails after several weeks.
Fire and shots in all directions, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I like their products. They're launching some new products that look pretty cool. But at the same time, like, you still got a business to run, my guy.
Yeah.
So, right. And then again, with a company that manufactures in China, then they're going to go, well, you know, it's been 3 weeks. We got one more week for Chinese New Year.
That's a month.
Okay, swell.
One month without placing an order now. And you would think that they would at least leave some sort of skeleton crew behind to run the shop and let the orders keep processing and stuff, as opposed to giving everybody the day off or the week off or whatever. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Is that what it is? Or it's a whole week for SHOT Show?
It's all week, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's all week.
Jesus. Nobody's getting nothing.
Media day at the range, and then, you know, and the place is huge. Like, it's miles of everything.
Is that a convention center?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. But it's massive.
Wow.
Right.
Gotcha. I think I have the title for the episode.
Oh, yeah?
Brace Yourself for SHOT Show.
Nice.
And since
there was a guy a couple years ago, so when the rule was you couldn't put the brace to your shoulders, there was a guy who went to, and here's the other really fucked up thing. ATF has a booth at SHOT Show. Uh-huh.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, my face just went totally stones, like, solid. What? Well, okay.
Right, okay, right. Sleeping with the enemy. Right?
What's at the ATF booth? Is it the hats with the three letters on it? Like, what could they be showcasing?
I don't know, because I don't go. I wouldn't go within 100 feet of that booth. Like, if you know where it is, please put beacons up and tell people to stay away, because nothing good happens at the ATF booth, I'm sure.
How do you do, fellow kids?
What?
Yeah, that's weird. Not for nothing. That's really weird that they would put a booth there. But why not embed yourself and get a bird's eye view of the people you're trying to infringe?
That's the whole thing. It's all about the surveillance, right? And I'm sure they embed themselves. You know, there's memes that go around with Steve Buscemi. Hello, fellow firearms enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Right? He's not glowing.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of glowing, do you have any other discount codes for this episode, sir?
Of course. AmmoSquared.com/BlackBag gets you a discount on your first crate with Ammo Square. It's a subscription service, so you can make shopping for ammunition a lot easier. You set your parameters, you pick your calibers, you set up your payment schedule and your shipping schedule if you want one, or they will store it for you. So if you don't have a good place to store a bunch of ammo, they take the stress out of shopping for ammunition. The other thing that you can do is use it like a piggy bank, and they will allow you to accept payments of ammunition from other people. So if, let's say, you wanted to gift me ammo instead of paying me money or using PayPal, which is an anti-gun service, you could use that. AmmoSquared.com/BlackBag. You get $20 off. That's free ammo. We're getting you free ammo. So that's it for this episode. Be sure to check out the sponsors we mentioned earlier. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at new2pew@blackbagresources.com. You can check out the website, blackbagresources.com. And if you really want to go deep, you can check out the Black Bag Resources Network and become a part of the community. Thanks for listening.